you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
Oh man, what an intro. We're back, everybody.
We're back. Oh man, welcome back to the Cast and the Furious. Is it the Cast and the Furious now? It's Cast and Furious Presents.
Yes. Cast and the Furious Presents Cobbs and Slaw.
Yeah, there it is. Cast and Furious Presents Cobbs and Slaw. Sloppy Boys 2018.
What? No, it came out in 2019 and it's 2022. Whatever. What is wrong with you?
It feels like ages. It feels like it's been 10 years since this movie came out.
I feel so much like has happened. This was pre-pandemic. We were different people then.
Oh my God. We were recording this podcast somewhat regularly.
Oh yeah, somewhat.
Or we just started. I think we just started.
Yeah, we had announced, I remember this specifically. We announced this podcast in Portland.
We announced it
the weekend that Cobbs and Shaw came out.
And I thought, hey, this Fast and Furious thing might actually be for real, so we should probably, you know, do something. It looks like it's gonna last a while, so
so this is actually, and to give you my background on this one, I saw this once in the movie theater. That's it.
I saw it exactly the same. I saw it once in the movie theater with Mrs. Bangs. Is that her name?
No, it's just Bangs.
It's just Bangs.
I like that. Saving Mrs.
Bangs. Oh no, it's Bangs. Then I'm Mr. Bangs. Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
With Bangs and and I have this is until this morning, just an hour ago, is the first. That was the only time I'd seen any of it.
And as it came back roaring back into your mind, did you have any memories of this being awesome? Or my point is that when I went back and watched this, I'm like, oh, douchebags made this movie. Like this movie is 100% at 10 out of 10 douchebag made. It is. When I saw it in the theater, I think I was giving it the benefit of the doubt. Kind of like, oh, this will be funny.
I was excited for this. Yeah. I thought it was going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah. And then I remember our first chunk, just so Jeff knows, is 34 minutes. Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly 34 minutes.
By the way, Jeff, cars in this one, not going to be too difficult for you.
Oh, let's talk about that. I mean, I want to go into that.
If you want to do guns, maybe that would be more of a challenge.
Or
that would
fists. Be more of a, or fists.
Yeah. I got two guns. I got two fists.
Yeah. The names are, instead of what's your racer name, what are your names, fist names? Your fists have to have names for this movie.
Yeah,
I'm putting you on the spot. I did not tell you this was happening. I did not know this was happening until it's happening.
The first thing I thought of was like car related, but I feel like it shouldn't be car related for this movie.
All right.
That's not appropriate
at
all.
There's no rule. You can change it.
It's going to go with Racer X and Nas, my two previous nicknames.
Okay.
That's all I can think of right now.
Just off the cuff, Pinky, the Brain. That's all I got.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good.
I'm sure as the movie goes along, we'll come up with something. Okay, this movie has a
How about Nietzsche and Champagne?
What the hell is that?
You already forget the references, the great jokes that they made in this movie?
Yes. I've already forgot. Yeah, Nietzsche's in the philosopher Nietzsche?
Yeah. The Rock freaking loves Nietzsche. He reads. He has Nietzsche on his bedside table.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
Yeah, because he's a first year philosophy student.
All right. So the history of this movie is they thought, oh man, there's so much chemistry between Cobbs and Slaw in these Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah. In Fate of the Furious specifically, I think. Yeah. When they have their big jail fight
That's one of the best. I mean, one of the best scenes in the movie.
That it is a really fun scene. And they're insulting each other and then they have a big fight. That's kind of it.
Imagine but it's a fun scene, but it's 2 hours long.
Yeah. Just that scene where they're just being irritating to each other and us.
And us, this is irritating on so many levels. It is toxic masculinity.
Oh
it is. I'm trying to think what it is. It's kind of a Mission Impossible movie. We talked about this in the green.
Yeah.
Room.
Yeah.
It basically just like, we're just going to steal the same actors that are in Mission Impossible movies and just
plot
have
lines.
And we're going to add crazy things, cyborgs, viruses. This is very Chimera. It's very crazy, yeah. You know, guy in the shadows.
You know, in watching this movie, I think, we're agreed that we're not as much fans of this as, you know, this is the worst movie we've done so far in this podcast, in our minds, at least.
I agree. I mean, and there's some stinky.
Yeah,
I don't like
Fast and Furious 4. The other one and 8. You're like 8 more than I do, but other than that, I like all those movies. And this one, I'm just like, it's so irritating. And I think part of it is like with the Fast and Furious, you make fun of how like they have to have cars all the time. But I think within that they have a set of rules that they need to play with.
And the rules. I thought of this as I was walking down the street because I was going to pick up something right after I'd watched it. And I thought, this is less vroom vroom and more boom boom. And I don't like it. I need a little bit of vroom vroom. It weighs down the movie and like, well, we have to have cars.
It sets it in some sort of system that you can rely, you know, you're comfortable with that. You're like, okay, there's car. We know there's going to be cars. We know there's going to be family. And in this is just kind of like, yeah, well, I don't know, cyborgs.
And they hate each other.
And it's going to be spies. And then there's just kind of like throwing in everything.
And there is family, but it's like family that you haven't talked to in a long time.
Yeah, that you don't really get. Yeah.
Estranged. It's a strange like,
oh, family. It has to be family in this. So they'll just have literal. Okay. They're brother and sister. They're literally family.
Yeah. I cannot minimize Zoom while I'm recording this meeting. Fine. All right.
Hey, I don't know why it's Zoom.
I'm just trying to tell you guys facts. Box office
is Zoom your Shaw?
I hate you so much. I pay for you, but no, I love Zoom.
Makes
me want to vomit. This movie came out in 2019. It was made for $200 million. Its domestic opening was $60 million. So it did not do well domestically. It only got $173 million domestically, so did not even make back its money.
Worldwide, it did, right? Like
where 77% of it comes from is worldwide. Worldwide, it did 500. Total is $759 million. So that's two and a half. It's the metric of you got to make back 2.5 times what your budget was.
Yeah, so it did.
It did. The Rock originally was like, after this movie, we'll do a sequel. There's no way there will ever be a sequel. I do not see a sequel. They set up a sequel. They gave us a bad guy.
They have a whole world set up with Etion, the Etion Corporation.
Yeah. Is it Etion? Is it like Etion. French? Is it like know. French?
The guy, I think Ryan Reynolds' weird voice was saying Etion. That's Ryan Reynolds, by the way.
I knew that voice. I knew that because they used his. They gave him a anagram in the credits for the voice.
Yeah,
it's like Chuck Tingle or something.
Dr. Chuck Tingle. That would be funny if it was.
But yeah, Ryan Reynolds. We'll get to Ryan Reynolds in a second. We'll get to you in a second, Mr. Reynolds.
Hold on a minute, please.
Please. Deadpool. Yeah. So this has. Sometimes music is also one of those things in a Fast and Furious movie that you really glom onto. It's kind of that racer life hip hop. This movie's song is Even If I Die by Cypress Hill and MC Idris Elba,
who, if you've forgotten, is also a rapper and also a DJ, somehow him being a rapper and a DJ takes away cool points for me. He's when I see him in movies, I'm like, this guy is so cool and smooth. Should have been James Bond. Awesome guy. But when I remember that he's also a rapper, it's like, oh, that's kind of lame. Somehow.
For a 60-year-old man.
Yeah.
At this point. I don't know if he's 60, actually. I should probably look that up.
He's probably like 50. I mean, this is a movie about middle-aged men acting like young boys, basically.
Yes. So you're saying, oh, he's 50. 50 even? Are you 50?
He's 50. He looks old.
He's 2 years older than me. And he looks great.
He does look great.
He looks absolutely great. And in this movie,
The Rock is also exactly 50.
Oh, my God.
I thought he was.
What about Statham Jason?
Statham is 55, I think.
He's old as hell. All right, so
they all look great. I mean, you guys all look great.
Great way to go. This movie doesn't look as great. I was actually going to bring this up. I wish I had my other co-host Chris Ramirez on here to talk about. They used an anamorphic lens on most of this movie, so the depth of field is different, and I can tell, and everything looks weird as hell. This movie has a real, I don't know, almost fake. I know it's not fake. Like when they're shooting inside of a building, they're actually in that building. But because of the way they shoot this movie, it looks CG sometimes. I know the outsides are CG. Like when they're in the CIA building or whatever it is, the NSA. Who are they with? Who's doing this, running this op? Okay, let's get into this. Okay.
Ryan Reynolds is with CIA.
Right.
But then Rob, what's his name? The other guy.
I almost said Rob McElhenney. No,
it's not that's... Rob. Not Rob McElhenney. Not Rob Morrow.
No.
Not what are
Rob Delaney?
Are? It's Rob Delaney. That's yes. It.
No, from Deadpool.
He's in Deadpool 2, and Deadpool 2 was directed by the same director, so he just got his friends to be in this movie.
Great. I'm happy actually with all that stuff. Let's get to it. Let's talk about it. This movie begins with, of course, the iconic song "Time in a Bottle." Okay, why is that?
It's that classic mishmash of putting like a soft, slow song over an action sequence.
But there's no reason for it, right?
No, not really.
And later in the movie, do they use the "Time in a Bottle" song again? Oh, we'll have to find out because we only watch one chunk.
I bet they do. I bet they might. But we'll find out.
Is that her song? This is where we're introduced to our female lead in this movie. You all know her from Mission Impossible, Vanessa Kirby, and lots of other things. But she's great in this movie. She's actually
that movie where she was pregnant that I didn't see.
Let's name movies, other movies you haven't seen with Vanessa.
I don't think I can even name anymore. I'm sure she has a great career. I haven't seen her in a lot of things.
Okay, well, just so you all know, Murren wishes Vanessa Kirby well in her career. So she has a great career.
She doesn't even need my blessing. She's doing great.
She's just doing great. So the movie begins with a shot of London, and they are a black ops team going in to get a package, get the MacGuffin of the movie.
Yeah.
It starts with a heist, kind of like Fast and Furious. Hey,
it's a heist.
We got that going for us.
But this is like a government. They're like ops, right?
They work for.
They're
from
not
what,
criminals,
right? From what we could tell, it's like real.
It's MI6. Is it MI6?
It is MI6. That's who we're dealing with. Hold on,
real, right? Like MI6 isn't a real thing.
Yeah, it is.
It's just in James Bond. I thought MI5 was real.
Oh.
Hang on. I don't even remember what they said now. It might have been MI. Typing.
Yes.
No, it is real. Okay.
Never mind. It's the Secret Intelligence Service, SIS. Is MI6. All right. Anyway.
But then it also showed, I have to say, MI6 says intelligence company. But then under there are also listed MI6 characters, M, Q, Renee Mathis. It's like those are characters from the James Bond universe.
Yes.
But no, it is real. It is a real thing. Okay.
Everyone, it's real. And they're going to get this thing. We don't really know what the thing is. Before I keep going, I'm instead of drinking Corona, because this can't be sponsored by the same sponsor.
No.
So I've gone a little far afield. I'm now drinking a Right B cider. So it's a nice, crisp cider here. So here, look.
Oh, nice. A nice cider. That feels right for this.
That even make a noise on the thing. Yeah, it's fall, guys.
And I'm drinking liquid pancake batter.
Excuse me?
It's cheat day. So I'm drinking pancake batter.
What?
Did you watch this chunk?
Yes, I watched this chunk.
I'm making great references to all the things that happen in this chunk.
I don't think he drinks pancake batter.
No, I mean, I'm just... He doesn't drink it. I'm saying it's what I'm. Oh, God damn it!
You're referencing.
I can't say I'm eating.
Are they a
pancakes?
Are they? You could have just had a big glass of eggs.
I could have done that. You're right.
That at least makes sense.
Want to go back in time and do that one?
Yeah. Why don't you do that? Yeah. Well, I'm not editing.
Drinking raw eggs in my
hilarious. What a reference to the movie. Thank you.
It sounds like I'm referencing Rocky now or something, isn't he?
Well, he has. Right. He can't spell Rocky without Rock.
That's true. That's true.
The heist begins. Vanessa, in this movie, Hattie, that's her name. She and her team are getting these guys in masks you know, in a basement. They're hitting them and punch them and throw. It's all non-lethal stuff. We have a flashbang. We have, they make sure to show that those shotguns are shooting out like electrical stuff.
Yeah.
And then she's opening up some whirly gig. It's a really nice looking, hey, this is tech of the app for this chunk, whatever this box is called. The, I would call it the plague dispenser, like a plague Keurig.
Yeah.
You just kind of
cartridge.
Yeah. You put a little cartridge in, you slam it down. You got your little K cups. You're good to go. And then we meet our bad guy. And this is in the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, moving fast.
Oh, we're moving fast and furious. A motorcycle drives up with weird headlights. And then Idris Elba, known DJ, shows up. And he's like, hello, everybody. Accent's going to sound the same. Everybody talks in
hello,
this movie.
Hello, yes.
Either the Rock talks down here, Statham's down here. And, you know, and Idris Elba also Idris talks Elba, down here.
He's so, a bit like this, isn't he? He kind of talks like this.
He's a little more posh. He's a little more posh. He comes in and dispatches the entire good guy team in superhero fashion. Like, he destroys them.
Super fast, super furious.
Especially if Superman had if Black Superman, which he calls himself later.
Yeah, he's, in his Brixton, the Black Superman, as he calls himself in the song, Even If I Die.
That we talked about earlier.
I don't know. He doesn't call himself the Black Superman in the movie. I think it's just in the song.
Yeah, because they were talking about it was a line that was going to be in the movie. It was going to be a James Bond line. And he cut it because he was in contention for James Bond and he didn't want to piss them off. So,
well, how is it a James Bond line to call yourself the Black Superman?
No, the Black James Bond.
Oh.
Which also I don't think is correct. Because he's not.
No, he's not James Bond. He's the villain.
Yeah, he's Black Superman's fine. I'm fine with himself that.
The Black Ernst Blofeld. It's not really a good matchup either.
But. No, it's not good. He dispatches them. Hattie shoots at him, and he stops it with his hand. The bullets bounce off his hand. So either he's invulnerable or his suit is invulnerable. So we've already
his suit is invulnerable, and he has like gloves on. He has like a mithril suit or something.
Yeah,
vibranium, whatever it is.
Shout out to Rings of Power.
Unobtainium.
Rings of Power on Amazon Prime right now.
Now streaming.
One of our many sponsors, but we got good sponsors this time. That's why we haven't recorded in so long. We've been out there. Really just pounding.
We've had to turn some down. It's just been this barrage.
Yep.
You know, we hadn't checked the Gmail account in a while, and it's just like, whoa.
That's why I didn't get your reference. We had to turn down Bisquick for pancake batter. We were like, screw you. You guys aren't on brand for us. Sorry.
Yeah. The Rock uses, I don't know. I can't think of another pancake brand. I can't think of it.
Aunt.
It's Mrs. Not Butterworth. Mrs. Butterworth. There we go.
Okay.
Or is that just syrup?
Normally, yes.
Yeah.
Aunt Jemima, which has a new name, and Mrs. Butterworth, which has stayed Mrs. Butterworth.
Yeah,
because that's not offensive to people. I mean, Miss Butterworth
being
is,
a woman.
Well, being a married woman made out of syrup, I feel like it's still kind of pushing, you know, social norms on everybody. But I'm not here to have a beef with the pancake people. Big pancake. I don't want big pancake coming down on us, guys. So
we're fine. I'm fine with Mrs. Butterworth. I just want to put that out there. I think it's okay.
All right,
maybe I'm wrong, but for now I'm going
to. Someone needs to start a checklist. Myrn is happy for Vanessa Kirby. He is fine with Miss Butterworth. That we have two things so far.
If Mrs. Butterworth wishes to, you know, have a change of identity, if she, you know, I'm not going to do this joke. This is bad. Move on.
Okay. Hattie is in the truck. She's being pursued. By Brixton the bag.
Brixton.
And she opens up the Keurig and basically pulls out some vial out of the middle part and then sticks her hand on the fact that she knows how to use this. But do you notice that the thing that injects her with the serum looks like a steering wheel?
I didn't notice that.
It does. Okay.
It looks like a steering wheel, steering wheel, right?
No, all steering wheels are relatively little. No, it's the size of a steering wheel. I will post it in the chat when we when this goes out.
Yes, you're the tech guy. I believe you.
Oh yeah, this is so techy. It's a giant silver box with a little computer in one side, a steering wheel over on the right, and a thing in the middle, the Keurig where you put the K cups.
Yeah.
She injects. We get a little Sam Raimi style blood and virus mixing inside the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
A little blood just cam.
Turning into an X-Men.
Yes. So she's got the virus now in her, I guess. Didn't know she could do that. Didn't know that was part of the parameters of the mission. I assume they would have brought something to put it in, like a vial of some kind, but maybe she didn't have time. Doesn't matter. She is now infected with whatever this is. Great. So the movie continues. She gets chased. She eludes Brixton.
And just to be clear, those two people who don't listen to this and Mission Minute Impossible, mm-hmm. this is the same plot as MI2.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
Because Tandy Newton.
I think her last name is still said normally. Her name's Tandawe now, and she's back. Tandawe.
That's it. Yeah.
But Newton is still Newton. It's not Newton.
Tandawe Neutron injects herself with the Bellerophon.
Right.
Much in a similar circumstance.
Well, Chimera.
Chimera. Okay.
Okay. Go back and listen to MI2. Please. Thank you. All right. Now, so motorcycles have a crazy prevalence in this movie. The bad guys all show up unannounced, three dudes, three heavies on their motorcycle. And then my favorite thing in the movie so far shows up, and that is his own smart motorcycle, which they have not alluded to yet in this movie. And it just happens. And you're like, I guess it's a smart motorcycle. And I love it.
At this point in movie, it's like one of those things where like, the language of movies evolves, right? Like at a certain point you need to explain what a smart motorcycle is, but at this point in 2019 you can just have it show up and people are like, oh, it's a smart motorcycle, I get it, drives itself.
Do you seriously think you would watch the Fast and Furious movies if at a point a smart car like Kit drove up and kind of did
actually
a little...
I feel like Vin Diesel would get super mad if a self-driving car showed up.
How dare you build something with the mind of a man. He's real against. He's like Dune.
I'm the only one who drives my car. I don't let my car drive itself. I'm the only one who drives.
The only brain in the car needs to be me. If you don't ever have another brain in a car, that's why I like to drive alone. Never put another person in the car unless it's Tyrese. He's an idiot. He has no brain. So therefore, my rule of one brain per car still exists.
For some reason, I've lost my Dom voice. Now I talk like Batman. You know,
I didn't think Dom would show up in this movie because he's not in it. He's not anywhere close to it, but he's still going to show up.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that. Just the short end of it. He was pissed. The other cast were pissed. Somehow everybody was really mad that this was going to screw up the branding.
Yeah,
it didn't because it's not that good.
Yeah, they didn't even have worried that much about
it. If it had been better, yeah, you'd have had a problem. You'd have had two competing Fast and Furious versus.
Yeah.
Because you'd have
that,
imagine
that world. Yeah.
Well, luckily, COVID hit. And so it never.
That also might have had a part, something to do with it.
I assume those movies are dead. I mean, it's The Rock. The Rock is currently at this point in Mexico City willing Black Adam to be a movie. He is like going around the world on a world tour for a movie that we're all kind of like, okay, man, just calm down. It's a movie. None of us care.
It'll probably be fine. I just wanted to say one of these guys, one of these henchmen, the three motorcycle henchmen, the middle one is Daniel Bernhardt, who's a big stunt guy. And he was in that cool episode of Barry where he's, fights Barry for a while.
Yeah, we know him. Because I saw him, I was like, hey, I know that guy.
He's in a lot of things, and he's always pretty cool. Yeah, he'll probably have a fight scene later. I don't remember. Hopefully,
the motorcycle doesn't have a name, so I think we should name it at some point during our chunks.
Sure.
First thing I thought of was Heat Vision and Jack. If you've ever seen that, Jack Black is a astronaut who gets superpowers only in the sunlight, and he has super brains in only when he's in this. It was a long time ago.
You're making this up. This sounds made up.
Owen Wilson plays the motorcycle named Heat Vision.
What?
Go find it and watch it. It's hilarious. It was
heat,
like
it
was
a, Vision and Jack.
Yeah, they basically. What? It's not a real thing. They like were wanted to pitch it, and I think they did a teaser trailer and some, and I believe there's a pilot episode of it, and it's bonkers. It's just
so there's like one. It's like just a pilot episode, and then no other episodes. That kind of thing.
Yeah, Rob Schraub wrote it. Like it's like written by like people that now are like the big comedy writers and the big actors.
Oh
of
my
the
god!
Day. But they were just trying some dumb crap.
Yeah, there it is on YouTube. 30 minutes.
Yep, it's just dumb crap.
Oh man. Ben Stiller as strip club DJ, Ron Silver as Ron Silver.
Oh yeah, Ron Silver works for the CIA, but he's also acts and dabbles at acting and is impervious good. To pain.
Vincent Schiavelli. Oh, nice. Okay,
you gotta watch that. Yeah, but that's the first thing I thought of when I saw. Yeah, so at first vision. I was like, Heat Vision is a great name for this motorcycle, but I was also thinking maybe Vroom, the Vroomba was another name I came up with.
The Roomba is very good
because it just kind of automated, goes around your hand. Yeah. Here comes the Roomba.
It goes real fast.
Yep.
It also does. It will clean your apartment if you put it in there.
You just have
to get it up the stairs.
And just like Heat Vision, it can't open doors.
Can't open door. It doesn't have hands.
The Heat Vision had a problem everything? With doorknobs, I believe. Now, but Heat Vision also, funny enough, when he fell over, was incapacitated. Like if he tipped over, it's like a turtle. It's nothing you could do. Whereas Vroomba seems to have no problem.
It has like, gyroscopic balance of some kind.
Yeah. So we meet Vroomba. That's where already I'm in the movie theater. I'm with my brother-in-law. I'm with my oldest son, and I'm drinking a thing of Coronas, and I just looked at him and I went, this is gonna be terrible. Like I when I saw Vroomba, that was 4 minutes into the movie. Oh, I was God. Like, this is not gonna be good. I think I was
still on board at this point. I don't remember much about my viewing experience, honestly, but I remember
mine because I'm pretty sure I chatted it in the group or something. I said something about it when I was doing it. So next scene is the real opening of the movie, which when I'm watching this movie, I'm like, I feel like there were edits.
Yeah.
This should have been the opening of the movie.
Yeah. They had kind of a cold open. We're going to do an action scene first, but
with
yeah,
a song that we don't like, why is it in there? And then we get to the actual opening of the movie,
yes,
which is a side-by-side split screen.
This was the pitch for
right.
the whole movie. So we're going to do this split screen thing and we're going to show how these two guys are different.
Right. Cobbs gets up and
these two guys who are basically the same are different.
Cobb sleeps naked by himself. Slaw sleeps in pajamas, like velvet pajamas with a lady in a black, like all black, like yeah. sheets, like satin sheets.
Yeah. They both wake up exactly at 6 a.m.
Yep.
The gentleman's wake up time.
Yeah. Is it? Is that when gentlemen wake up?
Not for me.
Not me either. COVID has changed my life.
But and also we do see a Nietzsche book on Cobb's
call back to your first amazing joke about Nietzsche.
It was a reference.
It's a bit. And they both wake up. The first thing they do, and then the second thing they do is they make breakfast. They're basically making Slaw out to be kind of a fancy boy. Like he yeah. likes the finer things, but he can yeah. still get rough when he needs to, you know, kind of yeah. thing. That's why he's driving these. I mean, the only cars in this movie are him. The only cars yeah. are like any yeah. good cars are because Slaw has one.
Yeah. Brixton and Cobbs both are motorcycle guys
yep.
mostly. Yeah.
And he wakes up and he of course has his jug of eggs. Like yeah, raw eggs.
And then Slaw makes a nice omelet perfectly, you know.
Perfect little omelet. Because, of course, he's got, you know, his hand-eye coordination is excellent.
Yes. Yeah.
I got a hack for you all out there. This is a hack. Not only was the Heat Vision and Jack a little something. Myrn, if you've never done this, I don't know if you eat eggs because you're very fit.
Yeah, I do like eggs.
Something I saw on TikTok, which is never a good way to start a conversation. But something I saw, and I've been doing it recently, add a piece of rice paper at the bottom. Put your eggs on top and scramble them on the like break them onto it. Scramble them just a little so it's a thin layer.
Yeah.
Let that cook up. Throw some green onions, whatever you want in an omelet.
Yeah.
Green onions. If you eat cheese, a little salt and pepper, and then flip it over. The rice paper will keep it all together, and you have a perfect omelet every time.
And it won't stick to the pan.
And you can eat it with your hands.
Oh, you're just making a little.
You can literally just
to go wrap.
Not even a wrap. It's just a flip. Like it's flipped. It's still omelet shaped. It's still taco shaped.
Yeah.
You know, but okay. it you're right. Every once in a while, a little bit of egg like goes out of the edge.
Oh, sure.
But the cleanliness, it's so much easier.
That is nice because I honestly like I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I like making preventing eggs from sticking to the pan is like
it's awful.
You just can't do it. Like you put oil in, you put spray oil, like it just it's always gonna stick.
Butter, a little bit, at least. Anything.
Yeah.
It all it sucks. Matter. And then it burns and you're like, well, this sucks. But no, trust me. Go get some rice. You can get it in any place that has a foreign aisle of food has they call them spring roll wraps. They don't call them rice paper.
Yeah.
But get it some spring roll wraps. This has changed my morning ritual. I get two eggs. I just crack them. You crack them on there and then just kind of like use the thing you're going to spatula with it. Just kind of mess them up a little.
Yeah, that's usually what I do anyways. Like I'll just like mix it in the pan. Yeah.
If you mix it first, you'll fail because it's too viscous. It's too liquidy at that point and it'll
just spread all over the place.
It has to like still have that weird, congealedness that it has. And then you just kind of break it up and it's done. All right. That's my life hack.
Wow. Greg's. Yeah. More cooking. I think, we should try and come up with more cooking hacks.
Oh my God,
that hasn't been a segment for us before, but
no,
this could be a whole new market now. We're definitely going to get the Bisquick ads now. You know,
when you're talking about Cobs and slaw, you got to have food bits.
It's the whole thing.
So the next chunk we will have, like you notice today, we don't have guests. I was yelled at by frequent co-host George. He said, "Why do you podcast like you're in college?" and just have time in the middle of the day. I have a freaking job. And I'm like, I have a job too. And so does Murren. But, this is just the time that we had. So we're doing the podcast now.
My work hours are different. It's okay.
Yeah, it's all good. So we're 6 minutes in. We're 37 minutes into the episode. So let's get going. We go through their day. Their day is, of course, one is rough and tumble, one is posh. All right, great.
It reminds me of what they on the Flophouse, they'll often talk about Tango and Cash.
Yes,
as being they're two guys and they're so different, but they're basically the same guy.
Yeah.
They're both cops that don't play by the rules, and that's the same with these guys. They're both like secret agents that go by their own rules.
Obviously, we're both big floppers. Always a shout out to the Flophouse.
Oh yeah.
Love those guys.
I had to credit them. I couldn't just say that without.
No, I'm totally with you. Go listen to the Flophouse. It's hilarious. I love them. They're both on a lead that basically after their day starts, they both go on a lead. It's kind of showing again, they're so similar and they're so different. The lead is they're both trying to track down actually the same thing, this virus.
Mm-hmm.
And The Rock goes to a bar / tattoo parlor.
Yeah.
And Slaw goes to a party / model thing, Euro thing. It's a Euro party. I don't know how Euro parties work. They're just different than ours. He grabs a bottle of champagne as he walks in.
Yeah.
While The Rock drinks two things of tequila at the same time. By the way, if holding a Corona bottle by the neck is how we do it, then shots from now on have to be two of them. At the same time.
Two at the same time. Do you think it was Terramana? Do you think it was contractually ovulated to be...
excuse me?
To be contractually ovulated.
Well, we're talking about eggs, so your ovulation is a big thing.
Sorry, I was just eating some eggs. Okay. Is that... What's on your koozie?
Oh, that's Danica Patrick.
I thought so. with a GoDaddy racing jacket on.
People who know me know that I have a Danica Patrick koozie that I've been drinking out of for about 20 years. it in and of itself makes me laugh.
That makes me laugh too. I appreciate that. That's funny. I wonder if it was contractually obligated to be Terramana tequila.
Oh, well, I don't think. No, he wasn't. It's crazy how.
Was it not around yet?
I don't think so. It's crazy how fast The Rock has gone from being The Rock normal to The Rock now. Like The Rock in the past 3 to 5 years has become. He was always a force in movies like in the past 5 years. But in the past 3 years, he's become a businessman. Like supreme.
That's so funny because like seeing this, it seemed like he was. the way he is in this movie seems like all that stuff would already be there.
They would have mentioned it if it was.
That's true.
They would have, because like, mentioned, there's nothing subtle in this movie.
No, because every scene with The Rock in this movie seems like a commercial for The Rock.
Oh, he's such like, a man. Oh, he's so sexy. Oh, he's so strong.
Like, do you like The Rock in this scene? You might like The Rock in Jumanji, The Next Level.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Anyway, so Jay, it takes two shots at the same time. Cool guy.
Cool guy. He's wearing a denim jacket.
Yeah.
Think how much denim had to be used to make that jacket. Make a jacket big enough to fit The Rock.
Yeah. How many denims were killed?
So many denim jacket. Monsters were killed for that. You have to skin those things. They scream when you skin them.
Yeah.
They both fight five thugs each in different ways. The Rock just basically kicks and punches everyone into every wall.
Yeah.
Like a cartoon character. And Statham uses a champagne bottle.
Yeah. He says something here where he says, some guy says, like, who are you? And he's like, I'm what you call a champagne problem.
Is that a thing?
That was my question, too. Is that a thing?
I mean, I have a champagne problem.
Is that something that people say?
And that when I drink champagne, it gives me a headache like no other. Like one glass of champagne and I am like, ah!
So there's a Taylor Swift song called Champagne Problems.
Oh, is that?
Maybe that's what he's referencing. Apparently there's also a Katy Perry song.
So all those T-Swift fans are trying to. The Swifties, they're trying to get in this movie.
I found Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary. A champagne problem
is a problem.
Is
this a sex move?
No, don't worry. This is going to be PG. Okay.
Oh, thank God.
A problem or dilemma that, when compared to issues of poverty, national disasters, and war, are not all that big of a deal.
White people.
But nonetheless,
problems.
Provide. Yeah, so it's like white people problems, like rich people problems.
Yeah.
So I don't think it works still.
Nope.
It's just because he's holding a bottle of champagne. And then I expect there to be like a follow up at some point, but he doesn't really have like an end to that. He just it's a weird.
If you're going to do both of those, I would have had both of them pick up a bottle of tequila, because he's a man's man in a man's bar. And then him a bottle of champagne, and they go in and they beat the shit out of somebody with the bottles. Fine. And at the end, they both drop them and they both.
That would have been cool. Yeah. Like they're doing similar. Yeah.
But they don't. Anyway, they're both looking for somebody. The Rock hilariously tattoos "I Love Cops" onto an informant's face.
Yeah, and that also made me wonder: was this when like ACAB started, or is this referencing that? Or
no, I don't think so.
I was like, okay, he's tattooing "I Love Cops," "I Heart Cops," so like people will think he's an asshole. But then also like The Rock is technically law enforcement too.
Yeah. He's a super cop. Yeah.
So is he just like doing anyway?
I can't
spend too long on these little things.
No,
it's just,
no. Because they don't, obviously the script writer didn't spend that long. So why should we?
Yeah.
But they both basically find out what they need to know by torturing these heavies. And so to make a completely different bookended scene, we go to the a diner that is, we get the flash of the name of the movie. So now we know the name of the movie. And then they go back.
Hobbs and Shaw, A Fast and Furious Story.
Mm-hmm. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw, Fast and Furious story.
Yeah, that
it's too much. It's too much. We go back to L.A. and we're in a diner that is definitely a set. They show us the five things we need to see. They show us the Hollywood sign, the highway, the pier. And then they go to Jenny's, which I assume is a famous diner in L.A. And it's definitely a set. I know whose car that is out front. That's definitely The Rock's. It's that big truck. He's a truckman.
Yeah.
He and his daughter, because we got to show, remember, the Rock's not only super strong, he's super sensitive, Marin.
Yeah. He's a good dad.
Good dad.
And his daughter is also perfect. She gets all A's.
Is this the same daughter that he had in the last movie?
Not the same actor.
I thought so. I think they literally had to pick a new actress. One, because I think she might have aged out of it, but two, because this girl can do the eyebrow.
Yeah, they definitely had that. Like, here's the audition. Can you do that? Can you be cute? Okay, good.
And I do like this. This movie does promote, and this was probably ahead of the curve at the time, for having Native Islanders, Hawaiians, lots of different kinds of Native Indigenous people cast as themselves or cast as their own people in these movies, which is great.
Yeah.
You knew The Rock was going to do that. I mean, that makes sense.
That is one thing in this movie that we can appreciate and we will not make fun of.
Nope. And they, well, I might make fun of it when it happens later on.
In the way that it happens.
In the way that it happens, but I'm not going to make fun of it.
But the fact we can appreciate that that happened and that these actors got, you know, this role in this big movie where they get to play their actual race.
And kudos to Jason Statham for making sure they only cast British people as British people in this movie.
It was one of his demands.
Yeah. He's like, I don't care. I don't want Carol Burnett as my mother. I want an actor.
That'd be a weird, yeah.
Isn't that weird? That's the first American woman that my brain goes to, you know, American Carol woman, Carol Burnett. She's American woman. Yeah. And they're talking about homework and crap like that. And then out of the blue comes our first stunt casting of the movie. Ryan Reynolds shows up as Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. He is, or Deadpool, Wade Wilson. I don't even know what he's doing in this movie, but it's about things that are annoying. He's annoying.
Yeah.
I love him, and he's annoying in this movie.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds. I mean, we don't need to go on too long about Ryan Reynolds. It is strange to see, like, I think it just, the Deadpool works better because you can't see his face. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Because he's been doing this shtick for 20 years now.
Yep.
And it feel like it's annoying most of the time, but then sometimes it works okay. I mean, it's the writing is probably part of it.
Like the Ryan Project or Adam Project. He's good in that. He's not, I mean, he does do some Ryan Reynoldsing, some RRing, but
it's kind of like if Jim Carrey was a handsome leading man.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Anyway, he comes in and he basically like kicks the screen of the movie theater down and says, hi, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Hey.
And I need you to do, we need a convoluted way to get these two idiots back together again. So, yeah. We're going to have him talk to her. Oh, this is cheat. Oh, okay. Oh, it's the cheat day. Hilariousness.
They bring in a bunch of pancakes. If you follow The Rock on social media, you know, he loves pancakes.
And that's not BS. He would eat that many pancakes, I think.
Yeah, he does. He does. That's something. He eats a big stack of pancakes for his cheat day. And that's in this movie now.
Do you have cheat days? You're quite a fit boy. Do you do you cheat, or do you just eat good all the time?
No, I don't eat good all the time. I mean, I've gone through, you know, periods where I'll be like eating healthy and then I'll have a cheat day, but not right now. Right now I'm just eating whatever.
Okay. Yeah, but you still look great.
What can I say?
Is it just genetics? Do you even work out?
No, yeah, I do. I do work out. Okay. So it's like this is boring.
Go look up. I'll talk about that. Go look up Murren Kennedy's bod online. I'm sure there are pictures of him. He's a good looking man, guys. It's good looking man.
One Instagram post. Can find it if you want to.
Yep.
That's all I'm gonna do. I don't want to get into that whole thing.
All right, fine.
But no, I don't take it to the extreme. But no, I'm not. I don't look like The Rock. I try to stay fit.
I didn't say you look like The Rock.
Watch what I eat. Oh, for those of you who can't see, I don't look like The Rock. In case you thought I did, I don't look like The Rock.
I have a Samoan bod. Other than dad bod, I have Samoan bod. Later in the movie you will see my body on screen, but no, this movie is, everyone in it is so ridiculously handsome and beautiful, and even the Samoan whatever's, you know, they're not all Samoan. I think some of it's, you know, they're not just casting Samoan actors. I believe there are lots of different varieties.
I mean, I feel like that's generally true of most Fast and Furious movies. Everyone's pretty attractive.
Yeah, I know it's a thing because I was taught recently, not recently, but in the past couple of years by Christian who does Spy Guys. He's like, he's from Hawaii, and just because you're from Hawaii doesn't make you Hawaiian. There's lots of different groups, and it's one of those things I try not to gloss over now. Because I'm like, okay, I didn't know that. I knew there was Samoan, but I thought that was a Hawaiian also. No, they're Native Islanders. They're lots of different groups. So, you know, I appreciated that. I appreciate that. You know who's the ugliest person in this movie is? Jason Statham.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
And he's not ugly at all.
No, he's handsome, but he's like rugged.
Yeah, he's the most rugged. Everyone else is like, like smooth and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Helen, speaking of smooth and beautiful, Helen Mirren,
Damn Helen Mirren.
Damn Helen Mirren shows up. She's our connection to the last movie.
Oh, did we talk about the family tree? I mean, we were kind of talking about
yeah,
it.
Well, I mean...
His daughter has a project where she has to make a family tree. And
he has two leaves on his tree.
Because she doesn't know... The Rock has never told her who her relatives are.
Which is sad.
That is sad.
We don't really know much about Cobbs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're boohoo. It'll all get worked out by the end of the movie. Don't worry.
Yeah.
She'll have a giant family by the end of the movie.
Yep.
Which is ironic that this movie is kind of about family. Later.
Literally, yes.
Literally. So Helen Mirren shows up. She's in jail. I don't remember her why she was in jail, because she wasn't in jail.
No, yeah. But I think it's just probably, you know, the easiest set they could get her to quickly.
We're just going to, we have a bunch of cinder block walls. We're just going to put up the thing, partition, and just you're in jail. It's a lot easier. Because by the time we get, even get to the ninth movie, she's out of jail again.
Yeah.
Doing crimes in London.
Stint. Unless maybe she just escapes.
She said 4 years.
I said 4 years. Oh, wow.
Two on good behavior. And he's like, come on. She's like four. She tried to escape recently. That's not good for parole, guys. Not a good look. It's just a dumb scene where they're talking, but back and forth between each other.
Establishes that Jason Statham and Vanessa Kirby grew up together.
Sure.
Even though they're 20 years apart in age.
Yeah. In the movie, they're supposed to be 4 years different.
Yeah.
In
real life, that's not true. And they also don't look that in real life, you know, in the movie. Not like Jason Statham looks like he could play 35. Like he's a handsome man. He looks good, but he looks like he's, you know, 50.
Yeah.
He looks like a good looking, fit 50 year old.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like Helen Mirren's a little, wasted, because we don't really get, not wasted.
She's
like,
just here to set up plot. She doesn't have anything else to
especially do. Especially since it's really weird that they go from the scene earlier of them at the diner to this scene and then back to the diner. It's a weird cut. It's because obviously they were like, oh, we need to make sure. Oh, by the way, we need to make sure that we explain this. But why do we need to do it right now? Let the movie breathe a little bit. Director. So they do their scene, and then Ryan Reynolds and The Rock are sitting across from each other. And we learn Ryan Reynolds is character.
I did want to bring up the Keith Moon.
Okay. Where
it shows a flashback of their kids and they blow up the safe.
Yeah, they need that, but why did it have to be in the middle of the Rock scene? But yeah, explain.
I don't know.
Explain the Keith Moon.
So they talk about like, oh, damn Helen Mirren is like, oh, you two were so close back in the day. You did all your fun pranks and heists, and like talks about and there was the Keith Moon, and it's like, oh yeah, the Keith Moon, because it was explosive percussion and you'd leave with hearing damage, and they just blow up a safe. And it plays like a flashback that's in like the 70s kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to remind everyone that Vanessa Kirby was born in 1988. she would have been alive for a 70s style flashback. It's kind of fun. I don't know. It seemed like the beginning of kind of a fun TV show about British kids that blow up safes.
I would have enjoyed more of that during the movie.
Yeah. Looks like a fun movie. I want to go in this movie. And then it goes.
Like, I would enjoy that if they were like, every time they're about to do something, like, let's do a Bloody Franklin, and then it flashes back and shows the Bloody Franklin, and it comes back.
We could do more of those flashbacks. Yeah, yeah.
That's a more fun movie. This movie kept getting tripped over. Why? Hey guys, we haven't made sure that we've said that everyone likes The Rock in about 2 minutes. So we need to again remind everyone that this CIA agent Ryan Reynolds plays loves The Rock. Loves The Rock so much that he has tattooed himself.
He's obsessed with The Rock.
Has tattooed his chest,
of course.
With tribal tattoos, and
that's not cool. You're white, Ryan Reynolds.
You're right. Whatever character you are.
The movie's definitely saying that it's not cool too. But no.
It's in the lens of this guy's a stalker basically, but he does have a job to do. So he's gonna send him over to London. For a little work. And in this, they've completely dropped the story of daddy's got to go to work. daddy is no longer, you know, remember in some of the movie before it was bad that he had to leave.
Yeah. Remember, in 7 and 8, it's like, oh no, I got to leave my daughter to go. And he didn't want to leave his daughter alone.
Yeah. There were some bad things going on,
but now he's just, you know, he's regularly doing jobs. It seems like
Hobbs.
Cobbs.
He's regularly doing Hobbs. That's what he calls Steve. He calls them part-time Hobbs.
Yeah, Steve Hobbs, founded Apple.
And then we get the same scene with Rob Delaney, and he is just because he was in London shooting whatever that thing he was shooting. He was shooting some show I remember back in the day in London. I believe he was even there, so it was just like, just come on set one day and we'll do this.
Yeah, he does fine. He plays it much more straight than Ryan Reynolds, which I was appreciating at this point in my viewing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, thanks for just playing the scene like a normal person.
Like a normal person. He shows a picture of his sister, says that she has gone missing. She's killed, because what we didn't talk about was that Brixton framed her for killing all of the,
yeah,
which bad job MI6 of the calm chatter. Oh, she's killed everyone. That you can't just like voice analyze that. No, that's not the guy from your
team.
They're
also very quick to believe that's like, oh, of course, one of our agents went crazy and killed everyone. Yeah, it makes sense.
Because we learned in the last scene that she stabbed a guy with a brick, which they make sure to say that she stabbed him with a brick. And he's like, they have no edges. There's no sharp points.
Get it. We got it. Yep.
We got it. We got it. All right. So they are now on this mission. Great. So first thing they do is we get our first F-bomb of all these movies. They say, fuck no, we're not working with each other. It's the beginning of their classic hatred.
Is that like, really the first time anyone has dropped an F-bomb in a Fast and Furious?
I can't remember another one. That doesn't mean there isn't, but I really don't think we have.
Yeah.
I think they're PG-13. I think this one is PG-13 also. But
PG-13, you can do one, right? Yeah, that's the rule. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if everyone's ever done one. I can't think of anyone because I don't think Vin Diesel would ever stoop in his mind to that level.
I know. I think he thinks of himself as kind of like a family entertainer, so he wouldn't want to. Yeah.
Yep.
Would the nanny do that?
Or whatever that movie was. Was it The Nanny?
No, the not Kindergarten Cop. I can't think of it now.
The pacifier.
Not the tooth fairy is
the pacifier.
The pacifier would never do that.
Pacifier is for kids. And now those kids are all 25 years old.
Yeah, so this is our first scene of, oh, I'm not working with this guy. He's an asshole. I hate him.
Yeah, it seems a little forced.
I don't need this. I don't need this scene.
Yeah. I remember Fate of the Furious, like that scene where they're yelling at each other. It seems like, okay, I get why, you know, these guys hate each other because they were on opposite sides before. Yeah. They were fighting each other. One's a villain, one's the, you know, the good guy, the cop.
Well, I mean, like, Jason Statham is not a agent of MI6.
He was former agent, right?
He's a murderer. He murdered Han.
He murdered Han and many other people.
Most of those people in the hospital.
Yeah, he blew up. He like blew up a hospital.
He threw that grenade at that dude.
He blew up. He blew up the Fast and Furious house. He sent a mail bomb to them. Mm-hmm. He nearly killed Brian's child. Let us not forget. You know, if we need to keep reminding people that he's a murderer and a bad person.
Yes.
And he's the hero of this movie now.
Everyone. So they go off on their own separate ways and they each do it. They each kind of track her down the same way. Jason Statham through computers and knowing, you know, show me the places where CCTVs aren't available. Actually, that's Hobbs who does that. He does where the CCTVs aren't available because he's going to literally just go follow her. Whereas Shaw is going to go to her place, find the tech that he needs to find, hack into it, and get what he needs out of it.
Yeah.
Is this a
secret sister? Like, we talk about how John Cena was Vin Diesel's secret brother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't brought up. But this is also a secret sister scenario, right? Like,
it is, because she's not trading under her name, under her Shaw name.
And it's never, and she's never, she hasn't been brought up before this movie either.
Nope.
Yeah.
We just know he had Shaw. Yeah. We just knew he had a brother.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but she's here now and he's tracking her down.
We get a great fight scene. I love it. It's on set. All these fight scenes are, I mean, this movie, I got numb. We're about 24 minutes in. I got numb to the fighting scenes. Like, they're not that clever, but I do enjoy.
They're like well executed, but kind of who cares?
I enjoyed the Rock Kirby fight.
It was more inventive.
Because you have to have, you know, like, how does a 250-pound man fight a 120-pound woman? And it's great. It's really funny. She's she's also wearing a dress. Like, and the him just picking her up at the end, kind of like, I'm done with your arms and your legs. Like, I need you to not punch me anymore. Super great. I like the work with the helmet. All the helmet foo was very fun.
Yeah.
Jason Statham is a little less subtle. His stuff is all kickies and transportery stuff because he's in Vanessa Kirby's house. He knew there'd be a grenade. Vanessa Kirby set up a grenade earlier to like blow up part of her house if somebody went open the door. He knew that was going to be there. She has a million secret compartments in her house. I wish I had this house, although the light would drive me crazy, like that Seinfeld episode with the Kenny Rogers roaster sign, because it's all purple. It's all purple and pink in her house all the time. That would drive me insane. I'd be like, oh my God, I can't look at this.
Yeah, you don't want to live in an art installation.
No, you don't want to live in the big sign from that James Bond movie where they're fighting. And
it's, it's like an octopus squirming around on.
I just got kind of literally like just disassociated from the movie when they're fighting because it's just not.
Yeah, same.
It's not interesting. And unfortunately, a lot of this movie is fighting. In the rock fight, they had to prove again that he was strong. They had her throw a car battery at him, and he just kind of grabs it like it's nothing. Was that supposed to be something? It felt like it was supposed to be important. It wasn't.
I do like that. I was going to say something else about that fight. I did like the inventiveness of it. But it did make me a little uncomfortable to have The Rock fighting Vanessa Kirby. I know.
Well, and that's what he says later.
I think they did the best they could in making it seem like, okay, they're not actually, you know, they're both, you know, no one's going to get hurt here. He's not going to like crush her to death or anything. But like, it made me a little uncomfortable just seeing it at all.
How amazing would it be if that was The Rock's move, is that he crushes you to death? He just takes you
like the mountain.
He just grabs your head and just crushes your head.
No, I'd be down with that. I mean, you'd have to make this an R-rated movie.
That'd be amazing. Gory, but it'd be amazing.
Maybe in Black, I bet in Black Adam, he crushes a guy's head.
Yeah. Oh, and now I do like that they did this because what later on happens is he's like, I knew you weren't the murderer. I knew you didn't murder those people because you're not fighting.
I knew you didn't murder those people.
I knew.
Is that The Rock's voice now? you did not murder those people.
Yeah. From that movie with, James Vanderbeek, I do not want your life.
I don't want your virus.
I don't want your girlfriend or sister. So we know that she's not trying to hurt him and he's not trying to hurt her. And she even snarls at him at the end. And did Statham, I guess we'll find out in the next chunk. Did he kill those people? Is this a killing movie? Other than at the end, I know that Black Superman dies, but maybe he falls in the water. So, and also, I don't think you can disarm a hand grenade by sticking the pin back in it. I'm pretty sure it's a fuse. I'm pretty sure it's a fuse. It's I can't be certain that I'm not. This is we're car guys. We're
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one for us. We're car guys. We're gearheads. We don't know about all sorts of fancy weapons and stuff.
I don't know about, ordnance. We're not big ordnance heads here. So they go back to Etienne or whatever headquarters. It says Etienne headquarters, United Kingdom. Is this a viable business? Because if you look down in the bottom, I mean, I know where they actually shot this. But if you look over to the right, when they say Etienne headquarters, to the right, there's a lunchroom. And I was kind of like, yeah. Oh, well, like, is this like a normal business during the day? Like Etienne makes.
Probably. I mean, a lot of things it's trying to be like, oh, these big tech companies, you don't know what they're doing. You know, it could be doing this. Who knows?
That's like the fourth. You know, I've only been working here a week, but that's like the fourth black helicopter that showed up. This doesn't seem right. I don't know if this job is worth all the money they're paying me.
Yeah, they seem to be. Yeah, there's a lot of screaming going on, and I don't know. Oh, yeah. It does. Like I would buy this being in a like a volcano too. You know, like it could have just like a villain secret headquarters at the bottom of the ocean or something.
And this building is actually the.
But hey, you know, even if you're a villain and you have you gotta serve lunch to your henchmen.
It's the McLaren super speed. It's a actual gearhead building. It's the McLaren building where they build McLarens and actually show them off. This was also just in last week's episode, dating this podcast, of Andor. They used the McLaren building as a Coruscant hallway.
Is it just like a futuristic looking?
Yeah, it's super building. Nice. I mean, all those super sport, whatever McLaren, whatever they call it, super sports. These cars are $1 million. These are like the highest performance cars available.
They're so good. They're the best cars.
I mean, I have two of them.
I'm thinking about getting one. You should.
Yeah. You should. And yeah, our next scene is a voice kind of talking to us, telling us it's funny that the voice comes out and it is Ryan Reynolds, but he's not doing Ryan Reynolds. Like he's just talking.
Yeah.
Cause they didn't know who they wanted. They talked about this in the producers say this. They're like, we didn't know who we're going to use for the next movie. It's cute that they thought they were having a next movie, but they didn't know. This had Ryan Reynolds read these lines. It's a scene where we see, it's kind of a neo futuristic thing where the whole point is they need the virus because they're trying to make people better. Basically they're the Borg. They want to add their, the distinctiveness to, they want robot and man to be one, kind of like Vroomba. I wish later on we found out Vroomba had a human brain in it.
No, I wish Vroomba could talk. Like, if Vroomba could have, you know, like kind of sassy to Brixton, like,
What British actor would you have as Vroomba's voice? What is there, like Rowan Atkinson? Like, what are you thinking?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
He's kind of a piece of shit as a normal human being, but he's funny.
He's not great. I don't know. Sir Michael Caine, just kind of like an old voice.
Hello, Master Brixton. Why do we fall down? So we can get picked. No, literally.
Why do you let me fall over? You've got to pick me up again.
We learned like Brixton's in this contraption and he's screaming. So we don't really know yet what's going on with Brixton. Yeah. He's obviously being modified in some way. Cause we see early on, we didn't talk about it. Brixton has all these heads up displays in his eye.
Is that what our computers are feeling when they get like software updates?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I feel. That's what's happening to him, right? They're getting like an update. Yeah.
When you hear the fan, that's them screaming.
Yeah. Yeah, so it hurt. Improvement, perfection hurts is what everybody says.
That's what I've heard. That I don't get my dad bod by not putting in the hours of pain. So yeah, this is that's our first kind of. At first, I thought, is Brixton going to become this character that like he's not really a bad guy? He's a bad guy in that he's
showing him in like a vulnerable position, so we have like some sympathy for him.
He's got like a dead face, so I was like, is Brixton actually even a person? Like, is he mostly
does he have control over? I mean, we find out later that there's like they have like a, don't they have like they can kill him with a chip or something like that?
But he seems into it. He does. In no way is he sympathetic this whole movie. I don't find him sympathetic.
No, he's definitely a bad guy. I mean, we find out. Well, actually, I think this is in the next chunk, so I won't say it yet. There's some more backstory we get in a bit.
So they go back to, now we're at a CIA black site. So we're back. Amira was saying before, where were they? They are in a CIA black site in London. That's where the site down the wall. The more Mission Impossible crap, more wall stuff, side of a building things happening. This is, there's a lot of Mission Impossible in this.
Yeah, James Bond too. This is the scene where Vanessa Kirby, there's the interrogation. Mm-hmm. He says, "Do you like to dance?" And she says, "No." "What do you mean, Macarena?" He says, "No, the tango, where it takes two."
There's so many other dances.
I, I thought that was, yeah. I didn't like this scene. It irritated me again, where it was just like, they're just trying to be sort of clever about the way
flexes,
they were talking.
He flexes his arms at the end, and he's like, I use my brain, but I also use my body.
Yeah, that's what he brings up. He quotes Nietzsche at her. And then I was just wondering during the scene, like, is there supposed to be chemistry between them?
There isn't.
And they just don't have it?
They don't have it.
Because I feel like in another movie with other actors, this could have been like kind of a sexy scene.
Yeah.
They're like going back and forth. And they're
if
like,
if Vin Diesel was in that seat instead of Vanessa Kirby, I think there's a lot of chemistry.
Oh, yeah. 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 If it was The Rock and Vin Diesel, they're 2-inch talking.
You don't have to be in love. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be sexual tension. It doesn't have to be positive sexual tension. It can be negative sexual tension.
Or not even sexual, just tension of any kind.
It's tension.
There isn't. Yeah.
No, this is a cakewalk for both of them. They're both just acting and not. I mean, Vanessa Kirby's an excellent actress. I won't say The Rock is an excellent actor. He brings a certain thing to a movie, but right now,
The Rock is great at being The Rock.
Right. Just like Jason Statham's great at being Jason Statham.
Yeah.
And they're mad at a guy who's great at being Vin Diesel. Everybody, although Jason Statham seems to have gotten out of this unscathed, he doesn't seem like anyone's mad at him.
No. I mean, and he has like a whole other, he's had a whole other career. Like, he's not tied to this in a way that he needs to be, I feel like.
His podcast is so hilarious. He talks about movies all the time. No, I'm kidding. There's no podcast for Jason Statham. Imagine if he had one.
This is Statham's Picks of the Week.
What movies would he be into? Like, what
movies does Jason Statham like? What does he like to watch?
I like period pieces from the Renaissance. I mean, just like, this is weird.
Yeah, I like adaptations. I like Jane Austen adaptations.
or maybe he's like, I'm trying to think what Jason Statham would enjoy. There's so many different kind of movies out there. I also like, I like rom-coms that are direct to video. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
What if he has a specific movie podcast where it's like, yeah, I'd review all the Hallmark original movies about the romance movies from Hallmark. I like them. I just can't help it.
Yep. I would love it. I would actually listen to that. I mean, that you're basically
Christmas movies.
What you're basically talking about is Roy Kent's podcast. The guy who plays Roy Kent on Ted Lasso has a movie podcast. He's super charming, but he also talks. I mean, he's not as deep. His Roy Kent voice is kind of put on. Like, he talks but he's talking about his favorite movies with other celebs. And it's super
fun.
It's super fun. You go listen to it. I forget what it's called. Movies to be Buried With, something like that.
Soon to be Hercules in something, in some way.
In something. And so, yeah, they talk, and then she beats the shit out of an intern, CIA agent, while he's talking with his daughter. And, of course, the daughter brings up the eyebrow thing that he always does. Like, what are you talking about? And the whole movie audience groans.
And she reminds him that he's supposed to be attracted to this woman in this movie, because we need a reminder of that.
And at the end, he walks back. This is like that scene from Community when Troy walks back in the room and everything's on fire.
Yeah.
That's that meme, because he walks in and
walks away for a minute and everything's gone haywire.
And so he comes in, and then Jason Statham comes in, and it's yet that meme again, because Vanessa Kirby has her legs wrapped around The Rock's head. And he walks in. He's like, oi. Get off her.
Like, she's giving birth to a brown egg.
Well, we just got the name of the episode.
I couldn't help it. It's so gross, but I couldn't help it.
Hey, we talk about eggs. This is egg. First.
Hey, this is, yeah, this
eggs.
Is a big egg episode. Yeah.
Big egg energy. Jason Statham walks. He's like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm sorry. I was messing with your girlfriend. She's like, that's disgusting. I'm his 4-year younger sister. Yeah. And he's like, well, but you're so pretty. No, one, don't, no, Rock, don't say that. Two, Jason is extremely handsome.
Yeah. Also, the biggest problem here is the age difference is the biggest thing here.
He's my 4 years older baby brother, older brother. What? And just so everybody knows, we're now about 2 minutes away from it wrapping up our chunk. So this is
we're almost there. We're almost there.
We got our first, I would say our first real big action scene. We've had a lot of little action scenes and weirdly lit. We had one at the beginning with Vanessa, but this is their first together. And of course, they're bickering. Oh gosh. About who's going down on the rope, yeah. and the Rock does. He's like, no one tells me what to do.
I kind of like that. He's like, yeah, let's do it. You kind of like pretending like who's going to do it, but then he's just like, no one tells me what to do. And then he just walks over and takes the elevator.
I don't think that's an elevator that was on the outside of the building and that just so happens to work if you hit it and break it. That's not how elevators work.
No, that's not how elevators do, but it's a movie.
I like it. And I like them running down the side of the building.
Yeah. That's always fun. I mean, it's not original, but it's always cool to see.
And this look, I mean, it looks super fake, but I love the where he's like "F you" and jerk off motion. Like they're basically bantering.
Like children. The other thing is like when his conversation with the daughter after he has that bad interrogation scene. She's like, uh-huh. Sometimes when people irritate each other, they're actually attracted to each other. I'm like, yeah, when you're five, not when you're 50. When you're 50, you're more mature than that.
No, the people that I actually hate, I'm not attracted to. I actually hate them because I'm 50. Yeah, yeah. I'm almost 50 and I don't.
You're irritated by someone, you're just irritated by them. It's like when you're a little kid and you're being irritating, maybe it's because you like them. But like, he's your dad. He's anyway.
So Jason Statham comes down the helicopter, elevator, not helicopter. The Rock does most of the work. He's basically free falling from guy to guy, getting them all destroyed. He lands on a truck and Jason Statham arrives very nicely and then karate judos two dudes, gets a gun that says activate, like it has a hand activation. And that's basically where we end. So
yeah
we're basically right there. We won't talk about it anymore. So
yeah, that's it.
That's
gotta
it.
Wait for next time.
I'll wait for next time. Maybe we'll have guests, who knows.
Yeah, look forward to more cooking tips, more egg talk.
Hey, you can't come to this podcast anymore without a cooking tip.
I think that's a good policy.
Yep. I think for this, for Cobbs and Slaw, part two, chunk two. So yeah, this is this Huevo episode is done. So do you have any, a new name for your fist? Has anything come up in this episode that is like, kind of maybe.
Let's see. The omelet and. I still like one of my fists being named Nietzsche.
Okay.
Nietzsche and egg. I don't know.
I'd like you to meet Heat Vision and Cheat Day.
Cheat Day, nice. No, Nietzsche and the omelet. There we go.
Nietzsche and the omelet.
And the omelet.
Yeah, I like it. All right, good. Well, until next time, we don't have a catchphrase.
The sign off. We never have a sign off.
Well, we did before. It was always, it was always.
Oh, ride or die.
Ride
or
die. Now it's like.
I hate you.
I hate you too. Come on.
Have you podcasted without you must have done something else since
I've
been a guest like once or twice maybe. Yeah,
they're as fresh as the breeze.
Eggs come to you fresh every day.
Serve them any way you please.
Eggs are natural and economical, so keep enough on hand.
Nature made them nice and neat.
High in protein and only 80 calories each. Eggs are a natural wonder. For meals, snacks, appetizers, whatever.
All you do is heat and eat.
Eggs, don't run out.
The incredible edible.